I recognise some staff members available here at the moment. I'm sorry I didn't bring my card with me, but I'll hold my little Cheryl Langdon Orr up here so you can read my name. I want to thank, as usual, the time taken here at these ICANN meeting face-to-face gatherings for especially the ICANN staff who come and who usually, traditionally, share with us where they are in terms of making accessibility part of the average thinking, the process, the mental checklist that goes on every single time you're looking at new projects and new opportunities. At this particular time of ICANN's life and budgetary processes, I want to recognise that, of course, we know that tough choices often have to be made. And as tough choices are being made, we'd like to think that at least those of you, if not at this table, who have an interest in what goes on, at least up until now, at this table, will be thinking that there is a value proposition in ensuring greater accessibility in the work we do for ICANN to minimise barriers for participation, whether they are through physical ability, whether they are through bandwidth, whether it is through language, whatever it is. I believe, if I may, and you can indulge me, over the last few years of our meetings, we've come a long way on just raising the awareness. I'm hoping that the audio conference will be set up shortly because I am expecting, for example, Ganella to probably join us, but if she is unable to join us, she did send a meeting to the list, a message to the list recently. Heidi, you've got some update for me?
Yes, this is Heidi. Ganella is in the AC room, and I believe we are recording.
Excellent. Thank you. So welcome, Ganella. We only just managed to see the fact that the AC room was open. So glad to see you there. I was going to say, if needs be, I was going to read to the record what you had sent to the list. But now, if we can just test the audio, have you got... can you just test your audio, please, Ganella, so we know we've got you on the audio bridge? It doesn't appear to be the case. So let's keep trying to get the audio bridge. I'm also not seeing the CART support. I'm not seeing the transcript going up, but it might just be the size of the pod. Perhaps it is. I'm hopeful that it is because I know Judith and others have tried. Ah, perfect. Thank you very much. Makes me feel better. Have tried very hard to make sure that that's the type of facility that we do have available. Today's slightly unusual agenda, and I want to recognise a few other people who have joined. We've got Greg, we've got Alfredo, and we've got Glenn have joined us amongst... please, Daniel, join us at the table, unless you're planning on putting a knife in my back, but that's crowded at the moment. So if you could join us, that would be terrific. The purpose of today's meeting is a little bit different to the ones we've held in recent times, and I do hope most of you are aware of this because it is what was advertised in the agenda space for what's going on at today's meeting. Normally, we'd be looking at how work is progressing, where we can assist you as a resource, which is what we're designed to be as a cross-community committee, a resource for you. Subject matter experts, people who have had particular experiences in areas of accessibility. And I know, for example, that Lauren's made great use of Ganella and other people's expertise in some of the web work and the web accessibility work that we've done. So recognising all of that as history, it has been questioned now whether or not we have a continued purpose. So I am needing to tender the apologies of Alan Greenberg, who is the chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. Alan is going to join us if indeed the committee that's meeting on the cross-community committee that's meeting on auction funds. It finishes early, and if we're still going, but it is the ALAC and at large that sponsors this cross-community committee. So we don't have a chartering organisation. We don't have, but someone has to pick up the tab for transcripts and staff and, you know, these rooms that we use. And that comes under the auspices of the ALAC. So ALAC has recently received questions and complaints about the validity of our ongoing purpose. Greg, for example, has certainly said that whilst he hasn't been able to recently been terribly actively involved in our regular face-to-face meetings, if there isn't a continued if there isn't a regular lot of meeting activity, then indeed, why continue? And I think it is time for us to look at that very carefully. Before we had, however, taken that further with the ALAC, we certainly had a number of exchanges on the email list where why we were meeting only in face-to-face was questioned. And if we are going to have a continued purpose, we would also be needing to look at how we continue. Right? So this agenda is a little bit different because we're not doing what I would like to think we should be doing, which is reviewing where we are on the work to progress what we all want to do, which is raising the awareness of accessibility. We're not going to be looking at what we should be having now at this particular meeting, and that's looking at furthering where we are on the second stage of the staff survey, the work that Diane had done previously, and where we left that last was having identified from that staff survey that we had quite a low level of awareness and understanding and thought about accessibility issues. Two or three of our members were identified to work with Diane and come up with a next gen of questions. That hasn't actually proceeded as far as it should for a number of reasons, but that is where we should be. We should be picking that up and taking that further. We won't, unfortunately, be doing that today. But that's work that doesn't have to be done through the auspices of this committee. That's work that now you staff are aware of and could very well continue. And regardless of the outcome of today's work, I would like to think, and I suspect Gunilla would agree, and we'll do an audio test with you shortly, Gunilla, should continue, because that's a very important thing, to do that follow-up. Has there been an increase? So, Gunilla, now I've filibustered for a fair amount of time. Can we just check that you are able to be heard on the audio bridge, please?
Hello, Cheryl. Can you hear me?
Perfectly, and it's nice to hear your voice. Thanks very much, Gunilla. With that, there's probably not a lot of purpose if we're doing our normal round robin around the table. What I would ask you to do is, when you start an intervention, please do identify yourself and, to a very limited extent, why you are in this room. Normally we say, what is your interest and commitment in furthering accessibility? Well, let's just cut it as short as we can this time. So with that, introduce yourselves as each of you do an intervention. I'm going to open the floor now for the next 10, perhaps 15 minutes for a no longer than 2 or 3 minute maximum, so 2 minute preferably, set of statements or interventions from anyone who wishes to speak on the question of the continuing fitness and purpose of this cross-community committee. Recognising, please, ladies and gentlemen, that we have no control over the continuation or otherwise. The ALAC does. And so all we can do, because this is actually the second meeting on this matter, because a couple of members demanded a pre-ICANN 61 teleconference, and four of them attended, in addition to the to Alan serving as chair. I count myself amongst that four, by the way. And so this question has been put once. So this is almost a second reading, but it is one we have to go ahead with. So, Gunilla, seeing as you've got the disadvantage of being the remote participant, I'd like to give you 2 to 3 minutes to do a very quick intro on yourself and say anything you would like to on the question of what sort of advice we should be giving to the at-large advisory committee on the continued purpose and work of this cross-community committee. Over to you, Gunilla.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. This is Gunilla Aspring for the record. I do need to provide a bit of background. I've been working in the disability field for over 25 years, and joining ICANN a few years ago, I was very excited about the at-large accessibility task force, and had a fair bit to do with that coming into play, and as I've sent around to the mailing list, I built up some objectives and suggested actions to do. Now, I realise that the at-large accessibility task force has moved to the cross-community committee on accessibility, and the focus has probably changed a little bit, but that shouldn't take away from the need for a significant amount of work. ICANN has worked very diligently on making their websites accessible, and the survey. Now, I do believe, though, that certainly staff can continue the work of the survey and getting an up-to-date view of where ICANN is in regard to accessibility. But from the initial survey results, it was very clear that there was a lot of work to be done. And if there was a staff member or a champion within ICANN that was focused on accessibility, fantastic. I don't know or think there is such a person, and as such, then it seems to me that having a cross-community committee on accessibility is valuable to work with staff to ensure that ICANN is an accessible organisation for everyone. And so I put in a couple of suggestions for work to move forward, and that was certainly to do with updating the survey. I noted that there is a new intercultural awareness training happening, which sounds really exciting. And as it so happens, the objectives and actions I suggested a number of years ago included having a disability awareness toolkit being developed and training to be provided. And it seems that that could still be a possibility. So again, another piece of work to be done, certainly in ICANN Learn, to look at disability and web accessibility training, and of course ensuring that ICANN is accessible to all participants, if they have a disability or not, and that we're talking about both physical meetings and online. So there are some examples of the work to be done where the cross-community committee could really help and guide and work with staff to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gunilla. Just 30 seconds over the three-minute mark. Greg, over to you.
Thank you, and Greg Shatton for the record. My interest here is both professional and personal. Professionally, I'm a lawyer in private practice, a technology and intellectual property lawyer. For about the last 5 or 6 years, I've been practicing increasingly in the area of web accessibility, assisting companies in learning what their obligations and responsibilities are, helping them to develop good internal business cases and so that they get buy-in, helping them find good technology partners to work on this. I originally got into this just doing compliance for companies that wanted to be compliant. In the last 2 years, the United States has been in a litigation boom, and not by disability advocates, but by the plaintiff's bar, who just finds some way that they can sue people and make money. Nonetheless, since it's a good cause, but literally in New York, we have almost in one day we had 10 cases filed in one day against different companies, insisting that they were in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. That it was a class action and that there are all sorts of damages that should be paid over and all sorts of things. I won't get into to that, but even though I'm defending the companies, my defense is let's get your website accessible, let's figure out how to do it, and why to do it, you know, get the litigation out of the way. And personally, my brother-in-law has retinitis pigmentosa. And while he drove once when he could see that well, and for many, many years, it's a declining disease, and now he is virtually completely blind, and at the age of 50 plus, learning Braille because his ability to read type finally gave up the ghost, and audiobooks are only so much. But in any case. That's why it's personally important to me. ICANN should be a shining light in this regard, and it isn't. And I think a group is needed to shine that light. And I think this group is vitally important to be that group. Unless and until, as you say, there is a champion within ICANN, and there should be an accessibility officer, there should be a web accessibility officer, that it is increasingly becoming a job description in the U.S. Indeed, only a week after Harvard and MIT were sued, Princeton advertised for one, oddly enough. So just to make what has now become a long story short, I am committed to this committee, and I want to see it not just survive, but thrive and drive a culture of accessibility and awareness of accessibility, because accessibility and disability tends to be put in the shadows by many, and it needs to be brought out, and people need to understand why it's so important. And there can't be one internet for everybody but the disabled, and there can't be one ICANN for everybody but the disabled. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And I will continue to go around the room, but it's Cheryl Langdon off the record. I'd like to ask you, so do you think this committee hasn't made inroads in raising awareness? Do you think this committee has been unsuccessful in doing this? Does this committee need to make entirely different approaches?
I would say the committee has been through a number of phases. I think initially it was very active and engaged both with itself and with ICANN. And more lately, the committee has seemed to have gone into a certain quiet phase, meeting much less, the mailing list going much quieter, membership being much less engaged. And I think what it needs is a shot in the arm and the ability to kind of to move forward. It's actually, the committee has a great platform to build on, and then we just need to keep building.
Okay. While we go around, we might have time to come back, but I guess my question is, who are we trying to influence? Am I the cripple trying to influence you, the advocate? Because to be honest, we could do that over a bar and don't have to meet weekly to do that. Or are we trying to have influence with the people, with the projects, with the funds, with the plans, and with the ability to make the change? So come back to that in a minute.
The Glenn, second
can
one.
I get... Well, I'd I'd have thought so. Glenn.
And I'll circle around on the same question that you asked, Greg. A little bit of background. Long before being involved with ICANN, I've been involved with IEEE as an IEEE member, and there's two committees I'm particularly active in. One is called IEEE Site and the Humanitarian Activities Committee. Both are committed to providing funding and support to open source OER solutions and humanitarian technology in many of the solutions they've come up, which are free and open source software solutions, is working with the special needs community. So that gives me a real practical, hands-on experience working internationally. In terms of my experience with ICANN, it goes back to prior to this committee, working, and Greg alluded to it, the W3C and the WAG 2.0 feedback and to revisions on the ICANN websites to make them accessible, which they were not. And so we worked with Laura Begford, and so there was funding available, and there was a lot of changes. One of the things, as the former chair and now secretariat, and Judith will allude to it as well, we were the first RALO that had organizations that were dealing with the special needs. We had VIBUG and we had ISOC special needs, which were ALSs with our group. Unfortunately, they're no longer with us. They were very inactive, and we had to go through the ALSD certification, but it's still a priority. I did help at the early stages with Ganella on the survey on the culture of accessibility, and you're absolutely right. When they sent the survey out, we got back, don't know, don't know, don't know, don't know. So it was kind of sad. But moving forward on my notes to quickly, just as a sidebar, and Greg alluded to it as well, the ADA is an opportunity for some people. So I did a number of presentations, which I'll share with this group, and those who are not Americans, you will not understand anything I'm going to say. There is something called a haunt industry. You guys all know it. For about a month before Halloween, they do these wonderful, huge activities, JC and everyone else. There's 30,000 haunts. So I used to do presentations for HauntCon and Midwest Haunters Convention. These are not haunted houses. These are scare fests. And so we did a number of presentations to educate the people who ran these events to avoid the blood-sucking lawyers that were going after the I'm not looking at you, Greg, but there is a fantastic site I have on haunt accessibility. And we were educating people that to make the haunt so it didn't feel like it was suddenly ADA compliant, the experience was great. So going back to the last thing, I know I have to accelerate. We need to go back, recoup what the momentum we had at the first. I think it's dropped down, and we need to get the awareness out there. I think there's a lot of people out there interested in this committee. I just think it just has dropped off, especially in the past year.
Thank you very much. If you don't mind, Judith, can I go to you now? Thanks.
Hi, it's Judith Hellstein for the record. I did agree. I work with Glenn and Gunella on the survey. And I think what we got when we first made the, and it's like what I've done with the, what we're now calling the RTT, real-time transcription, is first step is making people aware. I remember when we first gave the presentation, Diane was like, thank you for letting us know about these things. We hadn't thought about these. It caused us to think, how do we make people more how do we make ICANN a more accessible community? The same thing with the real-time transcription. When we first brought it to some of the working groups as part of our pilot, they like, thanks, oh, this is so helpful because we can't get engaged. Either we have limited bandwidth or we have English not as a native language, and we want to get engaged more in ICANN, but we're having these stumbling blocks. And so this is one of the things. And also, we are attracting, as he says, we are rebuilding within ISOC the special needs group, which is called, is the special interest group going by A11Y, because Jolly, like, has, there's a part in the, I guess, the law. But we've gotten a lot of groups that are from different parts of the world. And we work together on agreed upon time, and they are very interested now that we've gotten them engaged of like, where can I go when I can? And I would love to get part in this. And they are interested also in I know they couldn't make some of the meet, they couldn't make some of the meetings because the time was, but they are very interested in getting involved and in continuing this work on cultural awareness, because there's a need, great need, of increasing cultural awareness. It's like the interpreters started because people needed language to be getting engaged. English was not. Captioning is the same. Real-time transcriptions is the same thing. Other different awarenesses to make people aware of these challenges and not putting these stumbling blocks in front of people who are trying to get involved. And there's a lot of work still to be done in this issue, in awareness, which are not technology issues. And so they don't fall under either the technology task force or some other areas. Some of these can be falling on there that are technology issues, but others are cultural awareness, awareness issues, increased engagement, and they're not falling on those. But it also is because some people may want a different avenue to work on. There's a lot of work still to be done in this community, as we get more video-centric in making sure that captioning and as applications are, some of them put in a screen that we can't, that people with screen readers can't see because it's not a, it's proprietary text technology. It's not something with screen readers. And we just want to make sure, we need to make everyone aware of these issues.
Thanks, Judith. Of course, arguably some of that assistive and enabling technology is technology task force business very clearly, and the bread and butter of the people who are working with the budgets to do that. Daniel, can I ask you, would you like to take 2 or 3 minutes, or are you observing here? It's up to you totally.
Daniel, for the record, member for Fralo. And one thing is that I've been following the different discussions, especially on the technology task force, especially on accessibility. And I'd like to say that when it comes to the real-time captioning, it really draws attention to discussion, in that every time you read a statement, you get to understand it deeper and deeper. Yeah, and I think this is a plus. But back to my work that I do, especially with indigenous communities, the ability to understand content on the website is key to me. And also with the way the layout of the content is on the ICANN website and also on the Confluence, does not provide like real-time links. So you find that in case I want like information, I have to go and begin searching, which gives me a list. So there is need to redefine the way information is accessed, usability, simplicity. Yeah, and also I like the illustrations that are used. The illustrations, the visual illustrations carry more meaning. Yeah, and I think we need to trigger our thinking on how we communicate content. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. Antonio, could you give us a couple of minutes? Thanks.
This is Alfredo for the record, and I just want to show my screen. I don't have real-life transcription because it doesn't work in iOS. So I'm a live example of not having accessibility.
What's your Android?
No, iOS.
Okay, just for the hiatus here and for the record, it is a known problem. And,
yes, I know. And I know it is.
Certainly for not just your iOS.
Yeah, I know. I know it's an issue.
Fredo, this is also why we sent out the real-time text link, because you have, for people with iPads, they have to be, to see it, they have to have that. We are very much aware of it. And so is our good friends in the corner, Sarah Kaplis, who manages the Adobe Connect. She's definitely aware of this.
Can I also say that, and this is just an announcement, on Tuesday, 8:30 in the morning in the .PR booth, we're going to receive a donation of some 100 hearing aids from someone from, yes, from, it's going to donate it so that we can use them here in Puerto Rico. Thank you.
That's absolutely wonderful news, and good luck with perhaps that inspiring other useful donations. I wasn't trying to minimise the importance of the unsupported content. I was just trying to say that, like many of the things I've heard, these are things we've discussed in this committee from memory every time we've met for the last five times. So it's not new news, and maybe because we know about this, Sarah does realise it's a challenge for her to eventually try and get Android and iOS users to be able to use it. And efforts are made, such as the link. But if you're running an Adobe room and you're trying to run the link, you can't do both on a even tablet device. It's no point for me as chair to have any more than a stopwatch running in front of me, because I just can't move through those screens and try and keep up with the captioning as well. So if it's integrated, it does help. And I should have said Cheryl for the record. I want to go just for a second, and just because Dana wasn't in when we started to frame what we were doing, and just say what we're doing is spending 2 or 3 minutes to answer the question on our individual perspective of the purpose and possible continuing purpose for this committee. So over to you. Microphone on either side.
All right, hi, and Dina Jalkren for the record. Yeah, I was just behind there listening. We can go into the technical details of Adobe, and as a geek, technical detail, I do that in an awesome, excellent way for a long period of time, but what I see is that we have an awesome momentum going. There's a lot of people who are willing to meet more often, who are inspired to work more on accessibility, and I think that should be our primary focus, to let the volunteers go forward with their work to get a lot of things done next year. So to answer the question whether the accessibility work, the cross-community accessibility work continues as this committee or if it continues as a new group, it doesn't matter much to me personally as a volunteer and a geek again. So yeah, I would like to see active meetings and active participation and voices heard, things done, and however we decide to do it, I would be very happy to be part of it.
Thank you, Dina. Herb is the, for those of you who don't know Herb, he's the ICANN Ombuds, and he would like to just make a short comment.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Herb Way, for the record. I'm the Ombudsman with ICANN, there are a lot of working groups in ICANN. Some of them come to my attention through the work I do, through the agendas that I support, and the people that I meet. And to be quite honest, probably a year ago, I may have known that there was an accessibility working group, but it was not something that I had really thought about. And so I took the opportunity today to drop in. There's been this discussion about the future of the group, and what I'd like to express is that my office fully supports the concept and the theory and the ideas behind anything that makes ICANN a better place, more accessible, more diverse, more inclusive. And though I don't get very many complaints, or the office in the past has not received very many complaints about accessibility, there have been some. And I would very much like to participate in the future of the work that this group is doing. And I would also potentially see this group as a channel for any issues that come to my office to be able to address them properly, rather than just chasing somebody from ICANN and saying, you know, somebody can't get up the up on the sidewalk, or the there's issues with the screens, they're not clear at the back, or something like that. Because those complaints do come to my office from time to time, because people don't know who to address them to. So I'm actually kind of a little bit excited to be able to participate today with you folks, and hope that that the work you've done in the past and the work you continue to do in the future is something that I can actually participate with, and maybe come to you when issues pop up. I will be able to come to you folks with those problems or concerns that people have, so that they can be properly addressed, rather than me just filing them away as a complaint about somebody who unfortunately their disability has led them to an issue that they haven't been able to overcome. So thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I wish you all the best of luck, and look forward to you know, seeing you at the next meeting and maybe participating in some of your future calls. Thank you.
Thanks very much for that, Herb. And it's interesting, because one of the reasons that the face-to-face meetings were regularly held as just open meetings was to allow for people who were having challenges to feel they had a safe place to come and raise their issues. And that's where we've had a number of aha moments, I think, around the table. Certainly staff have had, oh, hadn't heard that. Glad we know now we can do something about that. So it's good that your office can make good use. And regardless, of course, there's a few recognisable faces and expertise is now recognised. So even if the ALAC did choose to discontinue this committee, you probably can rely on a cadre of subject matter experts, I guess, that could be called upon should you, as ombuds or any of the other staff, staff projects and even planning and potential review of beta testing of things, should that come to pass, that I don't think all is lost is what I'm suggesting is the case. A couple of things I've heard here, and there was a little bit of going back over where we were, and that's important because we've been through a number of despite some lack of evidence in our website, through a number of projects that have definitely made a difference. And Gunilla, I want to thank you again for your message to the list, just reminding us all of those things. But some of the stuff here too is not just the success of the captioning, and the captioning is important for a number of people who are not necessarily overtly identified with challenges in accessibility, but rather linguistic is an issue for them. Their English is not their first language, or bandwidth is an issue. You just can't get the audio stream working effectively. So, you know, the real-time captioning is an important feature, but it, again, we all recognise it would be good if it wasn't unsupported content. The idea of having a champion is a well-practiced one in a number of organisations, and probably something that that we should have as a future discussion point. But the cultural awareness is a currently focused on and will be focused on topic for ICANN. And if you will indulge me, I want to give Heidi a couple of minutes now just to bring us up to speed on what's happening with cultural awareness. And what I'll say just before I hand over to Heidi is, if she can perhaps channel some of ICANN Learn with that as a resource, not so much as a platform, as an existing platform that is aggressively looking for content and opportunity to put things up. That is there. We don't have to make that happen, but we do need to utilise it. But I am also keen to remind you all that the work in diversity is about to start as well. And the diversity implementation out of the recommendations from Workstream 2 is another opportunity for us to make those changes as well. So, Heidi, over to you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. This is Heidi. Perfect timing because the Academy Working Group held their meeting, which they, again, most of the time only meet at ICANN meetings, and they held that this morning, and they agreed that the intercultural awareness course will begin using ICANN Learn much more often. Now, I wanted to just let you know that the intercultural awareness course is from the ICANN Academy. It's directed by them, and it's a very much community-driven, cross-community committee, just like this one. It's their third program. The ICANN Academy Working Group has also, they also had the leadership program that is now in its, I think, fifth year. They have the sharing skills program that will have its second iteration at ICANN 63. And then the intercultural awareness course held a very successful first pilot in Abu Dhabi, full house, packed house, and the feedback from that was very positive. They did ask that it would be extended, so we're going to now, for ICANN 63, there will be a full day program for the intercultural awareness course on that last day, on that Friday of the AGM, which is a development and outreach day. And this time the work team, that is a cross-regional work team of the ICANN Academy, will be working to develop content on ICANN Learn. Now, again, this is not just written material. It's also podcasts, possibly videos, et cetera. So multiple ways for people to access that. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Heidi. And again, this is all the boats are rising with the same tide. You know, we are seeing a normalization of what we keep quoting the ex-chair, the prior chair of the ICANN board, who simply said, "But why are you even doing this, Cheryl? Shouldn't it just be in the DNA of everything we do?" Well, yeah, that's a great objective, but we do have to, or we were trying to make sure that we could help that happen. A couple of action items which are carry over from previous meetings, and that is the work to go on with the survey part two. Just to remind the volunteers who desire to be more active, you were able in the past to work with Diane on this. Diane is now leaving our organisation, so we will need to find someone else to take up that mantle. And when we work out who that is, thank you. When we work out who that is, we'll make sure, if this committee is continuing, that the people who put their hand up before or had their hand put up, you may have been voluntold, will reaffirm your interest to assist in that. And I'm assuming that, you know, the same people will put their hands up again, but they may not wish to, and that they'll be able to work directly, intersessionally, with the whoever it is who's taking this over from Diane. Greg, please, over to you. Just a reminder, we've got about 10 minutes before we need to wrap up our call.
One of the things I've learned doing web accessibility, you know, professionally, from a legal standpoint, and I also have a Twitter feed at Web Access Law, by the way, but it's not in the DNA. Which is exactly why it's so easy to sue companies for being in violation of web accessibility standards, because it's not in the DNA. I have a little speech I give. The IT manager doesn't know about it. The web developer either doesn't know about it or doesn't like it because it cramps their style. If somebody's in charge of accessibility, they're primarily dealing with physical barrier issues and employee issues and not with the website. And marketing, which is often nominally in charge of the website, doesn't even know about any of the technical stuff. So it gets, and the general counsel, you know, or the law, the legal team, you know, doesn't really follow this either. So it falls right in the middle of a bunch of different people's laps, which means it falls to the ground. So what we need, it needs focus and relentlessness and continued awareness, because it's too easy to sweep away. I'm not even and we need to be kind of a central clearinghouse, because yes, there is technology task force. Yes, there is diversity. We could probably pick out three or four other things which would relate to the accessibility issue. But just as with all those laps, if we don't keep in mind and help them keep in mind what's going on and provide kind of a clearinghouse, a coordinating, cheerleading aspect, it will get lost. I don't know that the diversity group considered disability diversity as much as they should have, as opposed to other things. So I think that this is a very, very necessary group. I would be very disappointed if ALAC didn't continue to support it, because I think it is in many ways an end-user issue, and also one of those things where ALAC has to be a bit of the conscience of the rest of ICANN.
Thank you, Greg. And I'm sure that was part of the motivation for ALAC when they agreed to continue it on in its current form. I will mention to you, because Alan hasn't arrived, and I did offer his apologies temporarily, that he is taking this and his leadership team are taking the call to close this committee. And there has been a call to close this committee, and that's business they are going to deal with, whether we like it or not. We just get to make some recommendations to them, I hope. And I'm hearing very positive things from today's group, and that can be reflected in those recommendations. Whether they take any notice of those recommendations, again, is out of our control. But Alan has reached out and was happy for me to share with you. He's reached out to a number of key staff in ICANN and asked for a full, frank and fearless review on how useful we've been, how much of a nuisance we've been, are we being heard, do you sit under your desks and hum loudly and close your eyes every time our name is mentioned, you know, that type of conversation. Because you can meet weekly. You can have the most amazing meeting metrics and still be not listened to. So it's the effectiveness of our voice that we are interested in, and it's the effectiveness of the voice that Alan's been asking about. I don't know what he's hearing back.
Yeah, right? See about that.
It's not my place to know what he's hearing back. But I do know, he asked me to say, he's asking and he's getting answers, and he will be sharing that with the decision-making process to go on. If the staff around this table hasn't been tapped on the shoulder yet, so please don't hide under your desk when he does come your way. If you could let our staff know, because Alan wants to catch up with you all right? So I'm acting as an advocate here for him to get real information back to help the ALAC make its decision. With that, the next point will be... Sorry, who's the hand? Daniel, sorry. Daniel, go ahead. I see you, Dana.
Daniel, for the record. I just want to, for the group's purposes, when Greg mentioned about testing the performance, web accessibility of the ICANN website, I just did a very quick, rapid test on the ICANN.org website, and the results are really so terrible. Let me just walk through them. That's 24 for performance, progressive web app 45, accessibility 77, but the worst thing, the worst of it all is the performance being at 24. The best practices, 75 and 78 for search engine optimization. So already this brings to our attention that there's a little bit more work that has got to get done on accessibility. Thank you.
Can you turn your mic off? Thank you very much, Daniel. And Laura has worked with external consultants as well, but it's a rolling thing as well. There's different parts of it that get addressed at different times. I'm not trying to speak to her project, but I do know that not everything gets the magic brush at the same time. I've got her next. Is there anyone else who's raised their hand other than Dina? Ah, okay. We've been trying, if you can just... Forgive me for a moment, Dina, we will get to you, I promise. We've been trying for most of this meeting to get Jolly connected, and because we have got Jolly connected, it would be nice if we can have an intervention from him if he wishes to make it. Gunilla, do you want to have a second? You are, person, hand raised, perfectly timed. I must be psychic. Gunilla, briefly over to you, very briefly over to you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Gunilla Spring for the record. Just wanting to follow up from what Greg had to say. Mainstreaming of accessibility is fantastic. We want to see that. We want it to be in the DNA. But until it is, and it is far from it, we need to have a committee where all of these issues are focused. And then from there, committee members can stream out and participate in the other relevant committees to make sure that accessibility is included where it needs to be. But so that's the value of a committee such as this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I can report that Jolly doesn't wish to take the floor, but we're delighted that staff have worked so hard to make sure he can be properly connected. Dina, over to you.
I'm Dina Jalkanen, for the record. So now that we meet face-to-face, and last year the committee has met only 2 times, I understand, and there hasn't been a lot of documentation of a work of this committee before this meeting. So now that I actually see you, can we have a show of hands who would be interested in meeting more often than 2 times a year? Yeah. So about half. And yeah. And there's stuff. All right. Yeah. So like most of us.
Thank you, Dina. Of course, the poll is, well.
So I think that, yeah, sorry. And my question is, now that we have met and we have expressed a clear desire for more active work and for more regular and more frequent meetings, would that be okay to arrange?
I have absolutely no idea, Dina. My name is Cheryl Langdonor. I'm currently the ALAC-appointed chair of this committee. However, the ALAC is currently deciding if there is a future or purpose for this committee. We have met now to consider what we can advise them. That is very much up to them. So I cannot give you an answer to that question.
If you wanted input on whether to continue or not, then shall we just have a show of hands? And do we continue? Do we continue with more frequent meetings? And then we can see how the majority of people see it. It will be more clear.
Okay. The show of hands you just had, we observed. Would the people who put their hand up before in the answer to Dina's question care to put their hand up again so we can perhaps record you? Thank you. I hope staff's managed that extremely long list to be accurately recorded a second time. Is there anything else you'd like us to do?
What I meant is if we are not to have more frequent meetings, and if we are to continue with only 2 meetings and with no work in between, who would like to still continue this committee?
Again, if we can get back to... All right, Greg, please go ahead, and Daniel, and we have got to finish our meeting supposedly in 5 minutes, so please be brief, Greg.
1 minute, the 1 minute timer. So what I wanted to say is that personally, last few years I've been very involved in a lot of other projects and being in leadership of another constituency group. I've left that, and I'm also wrapping up my rapporteur job. And I've also joined the board of ISOC New York, so I'm gradually mutating into an at-large person. And so I want to elevate this committee on my list of important to-dos. Whatever I can do to make this committee active and effective and relentless in bringing accessibility, culture, and technology into ICANN, if I'm looking for something to do in it as an at-large person, I would be very happy to make this one kind of my top thing. Thanks.
Good to hear. Our next speaker is Daniel.
Daniel, for the record. This is interesting, but it's said that this is one of the working groups that is said to be voted against. But I think we should not also dispute the work that is being done by the Technology Task Force, because if this happens, then I think we can consolidate the work of accessibility and put it into the Technology Task Force and create a small subsect to strictly discuss the issue of accessibility, since it is a technology issue. And also, I'm very happy that I think I can work with Greg on this, since I have at least a technology background. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. And I think most of us have recognised it's certainly been discussed in the meetings we've held over the last few years. And whilst meeting records are poorly recorded, the transcripts, every word we say, is searchable and is available. But we do recognise that not all accessibility issues are technology issues. So a good swathe could be treated that way and maybe should be treated that way, but that would leave some of, for example, the questions that our Ombuds Office may have, which is not technologically curable, I guess, to head up. We are at the top of the hour, minus three. Go ahead, please, Dina.
All right, and while AWEC is deciding how to proceed with this group, and we are still functional before they decide, there's work to be done, so can we convene more often before that happens, and do you have a possibility to meet more often, and if not, shall we appoint a co-chair, for instance, who has the time, perhaps anyone willing to take that on? I would be very happy to just get on with accessibility things. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. And we've heard your opinion on the desirability of frequency. We've heard here today that people would like to be active. And I guess I need to ask Alan what it is we need to do next. Because I could suggest we meet every week for the following 6 weeks. But whether or not that is going to be supported by the ALAC without him here, I can't possibly answer. So you can preach to the converted if you want and get the answer that is predictably yes, but whether or not we can make that happen, I can't guarantee. So let's look at our next steps, which is what we should be doing in the last few minutes. Daniel, your hand's still up. Thank you. And that is, let's take the same poll question that we started today to the list again, noting to their list that it gives our list an opportunity to, if they didn't have time last time to respond this time. We can add the poll question on frequency of meetings to the list if you so desire. We will, at this stage, ask the ALAC if they can get back to us in a timely fashion with what their plans and intentions are and report back to our list, if not a meeting. What are we now? We're at the pretty much close halfway through March, no later than early to mid-April, if that suits them. Am I getting thumbs up? Yeah, well, I'm just trying to give them a frame to work with. Okay, and so that will give some sort of limiting there. Glenn, go ahead.
I have my miniature name tag up, but now what the hell was I going to say? 1, 2, 3, 4 from Norello. What we're underrepresented here from the other RALOs. So we need to make sure we outreach to those other RALOs on either telling them the benefits, but, you know, the outreach and engagement, we have two people per call. You know, it's designated, so we clearly need, and thank you that you're here, but where's the other people from the other RALOs? That's one of my observations, and it's been consistent. We just haven't had, well, besides yourself, you're well represented as well.
Ganella's here from AP too.
This is June Talson for the record.
that we would have a lot more people here if there wasn't a conflict with the CCWG auction proceeds, which is at the same time and drawing a lot more people and some of our people. I know I'm trying to follow both on things, so it's... I think that people who are here is not necessarily a reflection of what their main interest, what their interests are. It's, they may be more interested in one or the other, but they that is not something that they. I think we do have a lot of interest from AP Rallo, and from others, as can be seen. And when we did the RTT, they were very interested. In fact, AP Rallo was one of the most ones who kept asking for real-time transcription on their webinars.
Thank you. Right. So this is, if we don't count staff, one of the smallest turn-ups we've had at our face-to-face meetings, for the record. Right? If we don't count staff, this is the smallest number we've had of people who are just interested members of the community. So yes, the competition aspect is one that is possibly an issue. So we have a very small action item list to go. Some questions to go out to the list that may go out as a Survey Monkey. Some feedback with the ALAC and to. Request that we look at an early to mid-April timeline on them getting back to us. And with that, I'm not sure what other business we can actually conduct today, because we're in this bizarre situation of a call to close and not being able to deal with the call to close. So is there anyone who wanted to make final comments? Gunella, would you like to make a final comment at all?
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Gunnela. It's a bit hard to make any final comments. I think most of it's been said. I just think that there is such great possibilities to continue the work that I really hope that we can do that. And if it hadn't been for this committee and the previous one, and Judith's hard work with Glenn, we wouldn't have all this real-time text transcription that we have now. And, okay, it's a technology issue. There are many non-technology issues that we've already mentioned, that I've mentioned, and there is a great need for this group. Thank you.
Thanks, Gunnela. Is there anyone else who desperately wishes to make a closing statement today? If not, let's draw a line under today's activities. Thank especially the ICANN staff who have been influenced and do think about accessibility issues at, I would argue, Greg, a higher than average level, because, you know, if you use the benchmark of some of the companies you were describing and compared it to ICANN now, I think you'd find there's a big gap between those two. So credit where credit's due. They have drunk the Kool-Aid, and I'd like to think we've had a small effect on making it palatable, if not actually friendly and fun at times.
I do too. I just would like to keep on serving Kool-Aid.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we may not have the results that some of you want, but we'll get there eventually. Thank you, one and all. Thanks to the tech team. Thank you, Jolly, for joining in. Thanks, Gunnela. And bye for now.